The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I am your host, Herschel Finman. We have a really good show for you today. In this half hour, we're going to be featuring Detroit's own Andy Lieberman, who is in charge of Shalom Street. It's a really wonderful place located in the JCC. We talked about them before they opened up, I think maybe in 2007, 2000. I don't remember how long ago it was, but time to revisit. We have lots of wonderful music. You want to stay. The music we have today is tops. The portion of the week is B'Shalach, which can be found in the book of Exodus in chapter 13 and following. We have an unbelievable story at the end. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Israel's foreign ministry banned any Swedish diplomat, including Sweden's foreign minister, from entering Israel. Sweden's foreign minister announced in its parliament that Israel forces use excessive force in stopping terrorists who are trying to kill people. She maintains that rather they should capture them and have trials, rather than killing them when they're trying to kill people. Shimon Peres, former prime minister and president of Israel, was admitted to Tel HaShomer Hospital complaining of chest pains. Doctors found that he had suffered a mild heart attack and did a cardiac catheterization. Doctors say that his condition is improving greatly. A call earlier this week from the leader of the Marseille Jewish community for Jews to stop wearing kippahs, those are yarmulkes, the head coverings that Jewish men wear in public, caused a fierce uproar in France, with scores of Frenchmen putting on the head covering in a demonstration of Jewish solidarity. That's way cool. It's actually, there's a social media campaign saying that all French people should wear yarmulkes. This follows the stabbing of a Marseille Jew by a terrorist with a machete, who was only saved miraculously. For the first time, Yad Vashem, Israel's Holocaust Memorial and Tel Aviv University, are offering a free online course in Holocaust studies. The course is open to everyone. Register on the Yad Vashem website. Carmel Wines, everybody knows about Carmel Wine, one of the Israel's largest and oldest wineries, actually started by Edmund Rothschild in the 1880s, was acquired by Leo No and Jay Schottenstein. Schottenstein sponsored the Art Scroll Talmud, while No is the leading contributor to the Steinzals Talmud being printed by Koran Publishers, and we talk about that when they come out volume by volume. And finally, one of the three winners of this last week's Powerball lottery was bought by religious Jewish philanthropist Shlomo Rechnitz. Rechnitz bought 15,000 tickets for the largest lottery in the world and gave them to his employees at his more than 80 nursing homes in California. One of the tickets was the winner. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in a growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are online with Andy Lieberman, who is the director of Shalom Street, located in the JCC in West Bloomfield, and we're going to talk about Shalom Street. How are you today, Andy?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank God. Thanks for taking some time talking with us. We last had something on in Shalom Street. You'll have to remind me how long ago it was, because it was to announce the imminent opening of Shalom Street. And that was the last time we talked about Shalom Street. How long ago was that?
That was in 2003.
2003. Yeah, we've been around for a while, and I guess you guys have too. So when people tell me about Shalom Street, and people, I get corrected. People always want to say that it's Shalom Sesame Street or it's Sesame Shalom Street. Is there something to do with the name Shalom Street with Shalom Sesame, which is the Hebrew version of Sesame Street?
No, there's absolutely no connection. There was a lot of community members involved in the building and creating a Shalom Street. It was spearheaded by Harlene Appleman, and they came up with the name Shalom Street.
Okay, fair enough. And originally, what was the purpose? What's the mission of Shalom Street in JCC?
The mission is pretty much still the same all these years, but it's to be able to engage Jewish families in the community in an experiential exploration way to make Judaism fun.
Okay.
So we're there for the whole community. We want everyone to come in and have fun. And originally when the museum was built, it had stationary exhibits that didn't move. And then over time, they would rent exhibits and retrofit them into the space. And the last 4 or 5 years or so, we've been building and creating our own exhibits in-house.
Okay. So what kind of things can a person experience? This is like somebody who's hears about this. Okay, so there's a fun place in the JCC. Was the JCC chosen as a venue out of convenience?
I don't have the answer to that question, but originally Shalom Street was operated by Federation, Jewish Federation of Metro Detroit, and it was housed inside the Jewish Community Center, so it was a partnership.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Over time, it just seemed a natural fit to switch it over to be completely operated inside the JCC through the JCC.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, so now there's all kinds of ways to have fun. If I'm thinking again, Shalom Street, even though it's not intended, but the visual is there. I'm thinking Shalom Street. I'm thinking little kids.
So our target audience is ages 3 to 12.
Okay, so that's from little kids to just kids.
Exactly. So what we do when we build an exhibit and create something is we try to do what we call the Disneyland effect. So the kids can come in and play in different areas depending on the exhibit of what they're playing with. But for the adults, there's signage and opportunities to learn along the way about Judaism or what our exhibit is about.
Okay, so how is it? I mean, the interests and abilities of a 3-year-old are much different than a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have, say, give us an example of like the first exhibit that a person comes in with, they would see at Shalom Street, and how it is that both my 3-year-old and my 12-year-old would go, wow!
All right, so when you first walk in, because this exhibit is based on the Torah or the 5 books, when you first walk in, you walk into the area of creation, which is really created more for the real little ones. There's a drawing table in the shape with animals on it and animals to play with and animal puzzles for the kids to create their own puzzle. But there's also a video that's going that explains the 7 days of creation. And that is absolutely for a 10, 12-year-old and adult. Then you go over to what we have as the Waters of Noah's Ark, which is a ball pit. And it's a great place for all the kids to play in, to come on in and enjoy. And very much when the balls all move around, they're 2 different colors, blue and a color white. They look like the balls look like the water's moving. Then you walk into the Tower of Babel, which is very much just a place for the little kids to build blocks, but we have specific tasks to do with them with the older kids.
Oh,
you
okay.
can go around the corner, and we have a mini synagogue or pulpit for the kids to play with soft Torahs and yads. But there's also a video on the wall to learn how to be a scribe, and the older kids can sit down and enjoy and learn how to write the letters on the Torah. There's also an area for older kids. We have a small courtroom for them to be the judge and to solve different Jewish cases that we've given them and to actually role play the whole courtroom scenario.
Mm-hmm. So it's a whole Jewish children's museum setup thing then.
It is. And there's a lot more to it than that. There's a treehouse that we've converted into Mount Sinai so the kids can climb Mount Sinai. We have an area on the tabernacle where you can sit down and learn about the tabernacle And then it's the tabernacle is in the desert, so we have a desert example for the kids, and it's actually a giant sandbox.
I was going to say it must be a giant sandbox, yes.
That it is.
Indeed. If you're just tuning in, our guest today is Andy Lieberman, director of Shalom Street, which is located in the JCC in West Bloomfield. So museums, especially museums geared for children, really depend on schools and groups to come in and sort of like make the day. So what is Shalom Sesame Street doing with that? There's only just so many Jewish day schools in the city.
Right. So we service, because we're located in the Jewish Community Center, we service our Child Development Center. And so all the kids in the Child Development Center, three and up, come into the museum at specific times that they've scheduled to learn about a Jewish value. And then they come in, we do a story or an activity with them. Each classroom comes in once a month. And then sometimes some of the classes are looking for more education and teaching, and so they can come in more often. And that's a scheduled time that we always have each month. We have all the congregational schools that have the opportunity to come in and visit and learn with us, as well as we reach out to the day schools. And then we try to reach out to parochial schools who will come in. The Torah is still the Old Testament, so we have an attraction that can meet other members of our community at large. And then we do special programming throughout the year with different organizational groups. So we've done the Shofar Factory back in the fall. We'll be doing the Matzah Factory in the spring just before Pesach. We can come in and make matzah. We do that in cooperation with the Federation's J Family Department, as well as Beis Chabad of West Bloomfield on Maple Road. And then we'll be doing some special Sunday programming for families on February 28th. We're doing a storyteller, story of Joseph, and then the kids will have an opportunity to paint their own canvas, kind of like painting with a twist concept. We'll be able to come in and paint their own canvas based on that, and we'll be having a program May 1st. Mitzvah magic, and we will have a magician there at the same time.
That sounds so awesome. Now, the Holocaust Memorial here in Detroit is also geared for like people to come and to learn and be educated specifically there about a specific time period in Jewish history, the Holocaust. And much of the goal is that there be an understanding that this should never happen again, because a lot of what happened there is based and blamed on ignorance. Is there an outreach towards the population at large at Shalom Street to get in the people off the street so that they can learn about Judaism and thus maybe create some kind of dialogue and promote philo-Semitism? Andy Liebman?
We're working, great question. We're working on that, on getting our name out there and what it is that we do. We did have the opportunity this year to partner up with Detroit Public TV and do a program down at Wayne State University on cultural Judaism. We actually did a Hanukkah program for ninth graders. They were brought down to Wayne, and they were from different high schools in our community. And we're working really hard on increasing our marketing and let everyone know that we're there and do teach and have the opportunity to educate on Jewish culture.
Okay, let's talk about that that event. So you're in a studio down at Wayne, and there are so many X number of Detroit high schoolers there. So what change did you see from before the program to after the program with these kids?
Well, the program itself was a station program. So there were a lot of different people that are that have museums and different experiences for kids to go to. So they went from station to station. But for us, what we did is we taught them some general facts about Hanukkah, and then we taught them how to play dreidel. And a lot of them said to us, oh, my God, I saw that when I visited another family or when I was someplace else. I forgot how it works. Show it to me. And so we sat there, we played dreidel with them, and they were given a dreidel to take home and a small sheet that they could have to learn how to play it at home and to teach their siblings.
Uh-huh, indeed. And for those who don't know what dreidel is, it's dreidel is a thing that's essentially a top, and it has four different letters on it. And depending on which letter it lands up depends on what happens with the money or whatever it is that you're using happens. Either you get part or some, you have to give in or something. So it's I can only envision that somebody coming home with a dreidel and saying, you went to this museum and they taught you how to gamble? So
we had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Indeed. So the How many, your staff, who are the people who are running this and making it, making what it is? Do you have like psychologists on board, like an industrial psychologist or children's psychologist to know what it is that would be able to excite a 3-year-old and a 12-year-old and an adult who has to take them there?
So our staff exists of 2 full-time people and 1 part-time person. I'm the director of the museum in my background. I do have a degree in education as well as in special education. Our other full-time employee, her name is Sarah Katz, has a degree in environmental education and outdoor education from MSU. And then we have a part-time staff person who's done a lot of work, Deb Schaffa, who's done a lot of work with camping programs and children in the community. What we do lean on is we have a lay committee, a lay board, led by Paula Glazier. Then we really lean on them to help us decide our next exhibit, to work with us, advise us, and guide us. We do meet with the Metropolitan Detroit Board of Jewish Educators and the Jewish family educators in the community to see what they're looking for, what we can do with our exhibits and what we can teach. We try to come up with an idea that is something that the synagogues and day schools can't do in their classrooms or in their schools. So we really try to be an experiential exhibit that they can't do in their classrooms, kind of outside the box thinking.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of outside the box, This last week there was like this major lottery, and one of the things that was being thrown around was, is if you won the lottery, what would you, if it was that, say, Shalom Street had won the lottery, what would be your ideal of what it could possibly be, bigger and better than what it is now?
Oh, my goodness, to Andrew dream, Lieberman. What a wonderful thing. I would probably like to see our space be larger. So it would be bigger. I would like to be able to have a lot more technology involved in the museum that we can change and alternate. And I would like to see that we had more funds to work with because we have a very limiting budget for our museum.
Mm-hmm. Understood. The exhibits that you have, are those like really permanent or they're subject to change periodically?
We change our exhibits once a year. Each year we sit down. It takes us about 2 months, 2.5 months to take everything out of the museum and bring everything new in. Our exhibits, we use different designers each year for our exhibit. This exhibit presently was designed by Monika Essen. And then everything is built and painted and installed through the Berman Theater at the JCC. And Eric Marr, the technical director, helps us do all that. So it's very much an in-house project. So what we've been doing now is we're scheduled to close the last day of day camp because we do service the traditional day campers in the museum. So our last day for this exhibit will be the last day of day camp, which in my head I think is August 19th. And then we will reopen with a new exhibit right after Sukkot.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to get all that done in that short period of time.
But we put in a lot of hours, but it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, that's going to do it for us. We thank you so much. Time. Our guest has been Andy Lieberman, who is the director of Shalom Street. Shalom Street is located in the JCC, the Jewish Community Center, located at Maple and Drake in beautiful West Bloomfield. And we hope it's not, let's see, from 2003, it's been 12 years. I hope it's not another 12 years until we have you on again, Andy Lieberman.
I hope not. I look forward to doing this again with you.
Okay, great. Take care. We're gonna take a quick commercial break, and you will be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to Jewish Hour.
The Art Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park is something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. It makes me just want to go over to Shalom Sesame Street and just go to bring my grandkids, you know. Hey, yes! Okay. It's always good to have fun with kids. It's always, you know, if you got something to do, you need something to do, I'm sure. I forgot to ask her what the hours were and if you could just walk in. But I think it's possible, just like any museum. But maybe call the JCC in front, 248-661-1000, and see what's doing over there, what days they're open and closed. Maybe I'll get that online by the next break. Speaking of break, let's take a musical interlude over here. This artist is Adar. That's his name. That's his first name. I don't know what his last name is because he didn't want me to. And this place is called Halila, which talks about how great it is participating at your own wedding. Of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Yes, Shalom Sesame is open Mondays through Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's closed Friday and Saturday and is open on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So after the show's over at noon, you can pack up your kids and you can go over there and have a couple hours there. This week, they're featuring a program. I don't know why Mrs. Lieberman did not mention this, but they're having a program called It's Your Torah to Explore, and as it seems looking at it, it's this whole week, and I'm going to pull up the website thing over here. It's Your Torah to Explore, grand opening Sunday, October 18th, exhibit open 18th it's going on for a while, and they have the different things from the different books, and maybe this is what she did talk about. Anyway. So you want to get over there and tell them you heard about it on the Jewish Hour. Speaking of the Jewish Hour, which you're listening to, this next up is a request. Remember we had the girls from Chicago that used to listen to us? Well, they're actually spread out around the world, and they actually do keep in touch with each other, and they're still listening to the Jewish Hour on Sunday afternoons, archives at rabbifinman.com. Got a letter from one of them. She wants to hear Benny Friedman singing Todah Lecha, which means thank God for basically giving me back my soul today when I woke up this morning. Someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968. MDS Drug Detox. Yair Shulfenman here. You're listening to the Jewish Show. We got time for one more. This is Israeli star Eitan Masori. The song is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 24. It's called Se'u Sha'arim, Open Up the Gates. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Eric Schulzman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are in the portion of B'Shalach. This is like people are saying, oh no, it's B'Shalach. Because after this, you have one more portion of the really good Bible stories. You have the portion of Jethro next week, Yisro, and that talks about the actual giving of the Torah. And then after that, we're done with stories until we get to the book of Numbers. So let's enjoy it while we can. Live in the moment. Yes. You say the word B'Shalach, and immediately, what's the crescendo, the determining moment in the portion of B'Shalach is the splitting of the sea. The Jews are stuck, they're on a little isthmus, they're someplace over there, they're surrounded, been three sides by water, and the approaching ensuing enemy Egyptian army ready for the onslaught, and the Almighty performed the greatest till then miracle. Remember last week we had the Exodus, which was the greatest till then miracle. And this week we have the splitting of the sea, which is the greatest till then miracle. And next week we have the giving of the Torah, which is the greatest miracle ever wrought. And the Jews went through and the Egyptians all drowned. Yay, we're done. There is a Talmudic expression if you want to say something is really difficult, you say it's as difficult as splitting the sea. Like, for example, there is a story in the Talmud, there was a rabbi in Jerusalem who was giving a lecture. And I think what had happened, I'm not exactly sure the scenario, how this happened. Maybe it was like a hot day and they decided to have the lecture outside. But there was a Roman governess, not one who takes care of little children, but governess as one who is married to a governor, happened to be listening to this lecture. And the rabbi said that getting two people married to each other is as difficult as splitting the sea. Now, she took umbrage with this statement. She said, that's ridiculous. Okay? And it leads into, this is also, that's like the tail end of a discussion. When somebody says, what does God do all day? So it says, the first 3 hours of the day, God listens to the prayers of people in the morning. This is what you're supposed to pray. It's like in the morning, get your day going. The second 3 hours of the day, the Almighty sits and learns. The third 3 hours, the Almighty, I think, plays with the Leviathan, it says over there. We should talk about that some other time. And the rest of the day, God makes shidduchim. God matches people one with the other. And that's like 3 hours a day spent by the Almighty to get people married. And that's when the rabbi said, it's as difficult to get people to meet each other and decide to get married as it is to split the sea. So this lady said, what's the big deal? I have 200 slaves, 100 slave men and 100 slave women. And I will make today, immediately, 100 matches and we'll have 100 happy couples. Okay? And so she went and she said, you with you, one from column A, one from column B. The next day, this guy came back with a black eye. And this person had like a punch in the, has been punched in the nose. His nose is out of line. And this person has got his hair pulled out. And of the 100 matches that she made, none of them were successful. So she understood, oh, okay. So that must be difficult as splitting the sea. Okay. But that's not the point of what I'm talking about over today. Today I'm going to focus on this word difficult. Who split the sea? It wasn't Moses who split the sea. Moses just kind of like held up his staff, the staff of God, and caught the east wind started to blow, and then the sea split. It was the Almighty who caused the sea to split. So is there anything that we would actually say is as difficult as the Almighty splitting the Red Sea? I mean, if you really wanted to make a statement, you could say, as difficult as making a creation. Because we can understand that's like a difficult thing over there. Because what was here before the world was in existence, the creation was in existence? Nothing. And what did the Almighty do? He took some of this nothing and he made it into a something. So that's like, ta-da! That's impressive. Splitting the sea, okay, they did that in Universal Studios. They had the thing going, and they rolled it backwards, and they immediately know. So, and I'm waiting for the day when, like, Steven Spielberg does a remake of The Ten Commandments, and we have all those new modern visual effects, and it's going to be way super cool. But I've been saying that for a while already, and I don't even go to movies, so it doesn't matter. So, but why is it that we say the splitting of the sea is harder? And we'll complicate that question. It says when the Almighty made the creation, and on the second day, he split the water. It says you have the water on the upper water, and you have the lower water, and the lower water complained. This is all in the Midrash. How come I have to be the lower water? I want to be the higher water. So the Almighty said, you know what? Every sacrifice that the Jewish people offer, and even when they're not offering sacrifices, at every meal where they're eating bread, which is that's what constitutes a meal, there will be salt, which comes from the sea, as a major component of it. And indeed, if a sacrifice in the temple was missing salt, it was invalid. Is it because God wants his barbecue to taste salty? No. This is called the Bris Melech Olam, an eternal covenant with the salt. Because the Almighty understood, somebody's got to be on the bottom. Somebody's got to be on the top. You're going to be on the bottom. We're going to give you a consolation prize that everybody, that in all instances where the Jews are doing anything of any significance, like offering sacrifices or eating, that eating is also significant, as it says, this is my table that I place before God, there will be accompanied by salt. But at that point, the Almighty said, he did like a double whammy on him, double back on him, on this lower water, and said, but I'll only create you and allow you to be on the tables of Jewish people at all times if when the time comes, you split for the Jewish people at their exodus from Egypt. And the water agreed. So what is going on? So we turn back to the question. Is it so difficult for the sea to split? So the statement is not, it's as difficult as God splitting the sea. That's not what the statement says. It says in the passive form, I do a lot of writing, and my spell checker, grammar checker, always will flag me on the use of a passive verb, because when you say something very active, it's more direct. People feel it, rather than saying there was something said that could have been direct. You don't feel the urgency of it. So I get it flagged all the time. The statement says, difficult as the sea being split. Not that somebody split the sea, that God split the sea, but that the sea was split. Because there are different types of miracles. They're exemplified by three holidays which commemorate those different types. There's a miracle that happens in nature, which those happen all the time, every day, till this day, 2016, people are still experiencing miracles. They happen to be manifest within nature. And you think about, we call these natural occurrences because we have ways of explaining them. How many trillion cells do you have in your body? And all of them are functioning just right. There's no randomness going on over there. Everything's just perfect. That could only happen through divine intervention, through the Almighty's direct involvement. How far did you drive today without somebody banging into you? Amazing. You don't have to look very far for miracles. Okay, I say if I have to look for a miracle, I have to look at my calendar, and I'll see, scheduled accidentally two people at the same time. And the Almighty will say, so you're a duck. And I'll get a call from one of them saying, Rabbi, I can't get together with you at this time. Can we do that time? Which is when I have an opening. And this happens all the time, that the Almighty is running my calendar. The Almighty is definitely involved with my lives. And we celebrate Purim, because Purim could be explained naturally. We talked about this before. You have some politicking, some lobbying, some people in the right place, and bada bing, bada boom. Everybody's happy, and we're eating cookies to celebrate the downfall of our enemies. Then you have those miracles which can only be explained as being miraculous. Or if you want to come up with some new physics, maybe with a really long whiteboard, that's the replacement of the blackboard, and you have this mathematical question that stretches around the room, maybe possibly you could figure out how it was that oil enough to burn for one day burned for 8 days, like in the instance of Hanukkah. And everybody recognizes that must have been a miracle because God stretched the laws of nature. It wasn't that they found a jar of vinegar and said, you know what, we don't have any oil, let's use vinegar. You can't light vinegar. Vinegar is not combustible. There was oil, and it burnt, and it burnt like oil burnt. There wasn't anything miraculous about the way that it looked. If you walked into the temple and saw it, and no one told you what was going on day 5 or 6 or 7, you would think, the menorah is burning. That's what's supposed to happen. The laws of nature were stretched. And we eat potato pancakes and donuts because of that. comes along now, the seventh day of Passover, which is the day in which we commemorate the splitting of the sea. It wasn't that God pushed the water aside. He did that when the Jews needed to cross the Jordan towards the beginning of the book of Joshua. And the water piled up, and it kept on flowing, and it kept on flowing, and it kept on flowing until I think it was 300 kilometers high, and people standing on the banks of the Mediterranean could look eastward and see this mountain of water that had piled up, but it was still water. And it still had, it was like this force holding it back, a spiritual dam, okay? The splitting of the sea was not like that. The nature of water changed. So that instead of being flowing, it stood upright like a wall in a polarized form, one wall against the other. And indeed, it wasn't just the sea that split. It was every body of water in the entire world except for the Nile. Because it says in the book of, I think it's Ezekiel, that one of the things Mashiach is going to do is he's going to split the Nile just for those people who are in denial, and said that it was just some kind of natural occurrence. Like the science fiction author Velikovsky came up with a theory that Venus was unusually close, and that caused the water to split. Okay, so what? It hasn't happened again since. So this is what was going on over here. Why is it difficult for the water to split? Because the water had to change its nature. Everybody's born a certain way. What is the Almighty asking of us? There are going to be times, really ultimately, what we should do is kind of like stretch who we are to fit into the guise of being more godly. Even in the sense, let's say a person's an arrogant person. So good. Use your arrogance in a godly way. He was a disciple of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe who was very arrogant to the point where he'd say, how could me, a disciple of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, how could I do anything wrong? That's okay. That's called stretching it. Okay? That's fine. What's really difficult is if a person has some kind of character flaw that they really would like to get rid of. That is difficult. And for that, a person's really going to have to be in tune with Hashem. So for me, for example, I'm just using it as an example, I'm not a worrier. And it could very well be that it's nothing that I did. Maybe it was that I was just not born a worrier. I don't remember worrying as a kid because kids don't worry anything. And then as soon as I became sort of like involved in my late adolescence, involved with philosophy that said there's no reason to worry. So I just never learned how to worry, you might say. So that means I didn't change myself per se. But people have certain natures, especially now, since it is that you have two people who were married, they have to change their nature because the person who they're married is totally different from them. And likewise, the person to whom they're married is married to somebody whose nature is totally different from them. And if you want this totally different couple to get together, well, it's going to take a strong east wind, like with the blowing of the, like the splitting of the sea. Because actually, a marriage is not made up of a husband and wife. It's made of a husband and wife and this forging energy of the Almighty, which is holding them together. What would have been had the Jews said, what? It looks like it's split, but water doesn't split. Nuh-uh, I'm not going in there. Guess what? We wouldn't be here. All would have been killed by the Egyptians. But a person has to realize there's an expression, let go, let God, that the Almighty really wants from us. And the Almighty will do for us. We just got to kind of back out. Speaking of back out, we have to back out graciously at this point. For our last commercial break, don't go away. Exciting Hasidic story coming up. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for the Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Harry Schulman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Easiest way, rabbifinman.com. Go to my website. You'll find a contact page. You'll be able to contact me. If you have a question, query, comment, criticism, all good. All those things started out with a Q sound. That's really cool. I should have to do something with that external assonance there. Anyway, you'll also find archived editions of this show going back to the last 5 weeks. If you want to go before 5 weeks, you can go to here, listen to the podcasts, which are on iTunes and Stitcher and on Jewish, www.jcastnetwork.com. You'll also find archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U story, which are explanations and insights into the calendar and the portion of the week, stories conveyed by yours truly in hopefully an entertaining and educational way. And you'll also find the very important donations page. Thank God people came through. We got 2 months paid in 1 month. Now all we have to pay for is January. This is so cool. I love you people. This is talking about stretching the envelope. We're talking about stretching nature. Sometimes I just don't know. And I think most times I just don't know. I can apply that song, "We've Only Just Begun," to pay off January, because the money is just now starting to come in. But we need you to step up to the plate. Go to your computer. Go to rabbifinman.com. Click on the donations page. Pick a number. Pick your own number. There are an infinite number of choices that you could go, except you can't really give anything less than zero. We're not doing that. So it has to be a positive number, because we emphasize the positive here on the Jewish Hour. Don't like doing it. Over the internet, credit card donating. I know there's enough commercials out there on the radio that talk about every time you use your credit card on the. You know, I understand it's all PayPal. It's all very secure. And if you have a PayPal account, you have pretty much nothing to worry about security. And if you do have a PayPal account, it takes about 30 seconds to do the whole deal. It's really quick and convenient. And you can even set it up that you do it monthly. It does it for you. So you can say, let's say you want to do, you can only do $10 a month, but you got to remember. Fine. Go to rabbifinman.com. Click on the $10. Click on, when it puts you through to the next one, do you want to do this monthly? Click on the yes button, and then you're good to go. And it'll last, you can forget about it until your credit card expires. Want to send it the regular old way, snail mail as they call it? Fan mail from some flounder. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. This story is about a person by the name of Rabbi Reuven Kot. He was not a Rebbe, he was not a Hasidic leader, but he was one of the assistants of the previous Ger Rebbe in Warsaw. In 1936, I believe it was, the Ger Rebbe said, Europe is no place for Jews, and every Jew should move to Palestine. And he picked himself up and moved to Palestine, and indeed their Ger dynasty is huge. And he left this Reuven Kot in charge of getting Jews out of Poland. Now, there was the British Mandate, which had a quota system, which didn't go by number of people, the Brits. It went by numbers of families. And so he would do it such that he would forge a passport and there'd be a father, a mother, and their kids. There'd be like 12 kids in every family to get all these people out. Eventually, he got caught and he was going to have a trial. And he said, they asked, who should we get for a lawyer? He said, find the most anti-Semitic lawyer in Warsaw. This is crazy. There's good lawyers, Jewish. He says, no, I want an anti-Semite. He was allowed 3 minutes before the trial to meet with his lawyer. And the lawyer came out and made this unbelievable appeal, and the whole case was dropped. So they asked him afterwards, what did you say to the lawyer in 3 minutes? He said, I asked him three questions. I said, are you an anti-Semite? He said, yes. He said, would you like me to rot in jail? He said, yes. He said, wouldn't it be better if instead of one Jew rotting in jail, this one Jew got out of jail and got all the Jews out of Poland? And he said yes. And that's what happened. And indeed, this lawyer actually helped him forge more passports. And it says today in Israel, there's about 500,000 people that owe their lives to one Reuven Kot. That's going to do it for us. We're going to thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next week. Take care.